Good morning, everyone. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you felt you've been left on your own to face the world? And that things were just impossible for you. And you didn't know how to move on. There are many times in our lives that we got ourselves into situations where we find things are just impossible. And I'm willing to bet that even just over this past week, that some of us here might have that feeling, things were just impossible. Maybe you're like my friend who I just found out recently that she got badly injured from a traffic accident 3 months ago, and then that's affecting her movability. The legal system wasn't on her side because of the corruption, so she spent all her money in a lawsuit that she couldn't win. And then now she's facing the possibility of losing her family house as well. And on top of that, her mom was on the decline with her health that she also has to look after. She just felt impossible and didn't know how to move on. And maybe you're like my other friend who is serving in a country in the Middle East, a Muslim country. Maybe we were like him in this situation because of his faith. So he was, just a while back, he was scheduled to go back to New Zealand for a sabbatical leave. And so he was quite looking forward to it. But then suddenly, there was a news of his friends. Three of his friends were brutally killed by a few terrorists in a terrorist attack. And then suddenly, he is stuck in that situation because he has to stay extra 6 months just to help with crisis management, to help people who he ministered to help them going through this difficult time. And then the people he ministered to described to him that it's just impossible for them to move on. It's just so hard knowing that their friends and family were killed. And maybe you're like the TV host Caroline Flack. She was all over the news over the last week. And we didn't know exactly what was in her mind, but we could tell from watching the TV, everyone was blaming everyone else for her death. But one thing we knew was that she was terrified. And she felt that no one was there for her. The only way out was to take her own life. Or maybe you have a friend who you've given up because they are so stubborn. And it just seemed impossible for them to hear anything you have to say about God. Or maybe you like the disciples. They were given the task, that is the most impossible task, is this, changing the world by converting people to Christ. Now, if this is your first time at East Finchley, I think everyone's been here before. Still, I want to welcome all of you. We're continuing the series of our studies on the Gospel of John. John writes so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, we will have life. Our passage today happens in the middle of a somewhat strange meal. Strange because it was supposed to be a feast celebrating the Passover. But Jesus kept on surprising his disciples. As a teacher, he washed their feet. And then he taught them about loving each other. And then he taught them about you gotta stay connected in me so that you can bear fruit. And then he talked to them about the danger to come, and about how the world would hate them because the world hates Jesus. And because of that hatred, from the world, that they, the disciples, might even be persecuted or even killed. Jesus also talked about the advocate, the one that was going to come to help them, the Holy Spirit, who will be with them forever to help them. If it wasn't scary enough, now in our passage today, Jesus suddenly talks about leaving them. Wouldn't it be easier if Jesus just stayed, if he was still with us now? Look with me in verse 7, if you still have your Bible open. What does Jesus say here? It is for your good. It is for your good that I'm going away. Seriously, Jesus? The disciples might be thinking out loud, like I'm thinking out loud right now. Yes, Lord, we know you did warn us about the cost of following you. In fact, you just told us that people will hate us, and they might even kill us. I mean, well, I guess we were hoping that you'd be our champion, leading us forward to face the enemies, face the hardship. We know you talked about the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, but we thought you meant that the Spirit would join force to empower us to soldier on. While you ride in the midst of us into the battle, not leaving, but now you actually mean you are going, and you're telling us that it is for our own good that you are going away. Now I don't know if you like to watch movie. I'll use a couple movie scenes that hopefully that will trigger your memories. I like the scene in the film Lord of Rings, where Gandalf was telling the hobbits and also telling some of the people defending the fort that he's going to go away for a while. And people were freaking out because Gandalf was their hope, the only hope. But Gandalf said, "I'm going away because I'm going up. This is for your good." But they didn't understand why he was going away. And it feels like this is the same situation with the disciples. They just didn't understand why Jesus was going away. Now, if we would feel like them, if we feel like the disciples, if we were to put ourselves in the disciples' shoes, or more accurately, in their sandals, if we were given a task that we are ready to give up before we even started, it is for your good that I'm going away. Firstly, it is good because if Jesus doesn't go, then the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. While it was good to have Jesus by our side. After all, he is God incarnate, God in a bodily form. How cool was that to be able to hang out with him in person? But if Jesus had stayed in his human body form, imagine how difficult it would be for all of us to spend any decent amount of time with him. When Jesus was still with his disciples, feasting in the upper room in a house in Jerusalem, he couldn't possibly be with us here at East Finchley Baptist Church. He is confined to one place at one time on earth. But Jesus said when he goes, he will send the Advocate to be with his disciples, to be with all of us simultaneously. Secondly, it is for our good that Jesus goes away, because let's read from verse 8. Because when he comes, when he, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. But let's back up a little bit. You can catch from the language from the last verse in the previous chapter, and also in verses 7 and 8 in our chapter today. The advocate is a legal language. The advocate is like someone who speaks on our behalf in a courtroom, maybe, defending you as you face persecution. But now, a bit of gear shift. Now the Holy Spirit is like a prosecuting counsel, proving people to be in the wrong, persuading them that they haven't got their stuff right. You might be thinking, oh no, it sounded so negative. He is here to make us feel bad, feel guilty. But wait, let me show you why it's actually good news. I love camping. I actually mean I loved camping. I don't love camping anymore. I just can't be bothered with spending all the time and effort putting tents up. So much effort. But hey, imagine that you love camping. And now you've set your tent up. It's a nice and cozy tent for you to stay in. And to make things extra comfortable, you decided to put a huge tarpaulin above your tent. But you're not that good at putting that up, so it's just poorly set up. The tarpaulin was so big that you know you can fend off any wind, any rain, any stuff that's coming. But a hurricane comes and it's pouring down with rain out there. In fact, because the tarpaulin is so thick, you can't even hear a thing out there. So you're completely unaware of what's going on. You're unaware of the rain. Now the rain keeps falling, and the water gathers on top of the tarpaulin as it rains, more and more and more, until there are hundreds of gallons of water on top of your head, until the tarpaulin gives away and crashing down upon you. But you know nothing of it. Now imagine that your friend came running in, telling you about what's going on out there, about the peril you are in. But you don't believe a word he said, because you are dry and secure under the tarpaulin. Now your friend grabs hold of a spear and then poked a couple of holes, and some of the water began to trickle through. Little bits of water, not the full torrent, but little bits of water coming through to bring you to the awareness of the peril you are in. Now Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come to do what he did, poking holes, so that the world might be convinced, might be convicted, proved wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit proved us to be in the wrong about sin because we did not hear Jesus when he brought us to the awareness of our situation. We had not responded to God as we should have. We shrugged our shoulders and paid no attention. We ignored Jesus. About righteousness, our own righteousness, or the lack of it. Because it takes Jesus going to the Father via the cross to bring us to God, yet we continue saying to ourselves, we are okay. It is all good. There's nothing wrong with us. We'll be all right before God without Jesus. And about judgment, that he will judge the world, the judgment of which the Spirit convicts the world of its spiritual blindness and how they've treated Jesus. It still doesn't sound so good, does it? Jesus says it is good that the Spirit comes to prove the world to be in the wrong, because it gives us the opportunity to listen and to turn to him. Otherwise, he could have just let us perish. The gracious work of the Holy Spirit to prove the world of the wrong is a huge blessing. The Spirit can change people on the inside, show them the need for Christ. The Spirit brought people to a place where they can repent. The friends you've previously written off, the Spirit can change them. Even when we are believers, the Holy Spirit presses on upon us. Then we have the joy of repentance. It is a joy because you're finally realizing you are wrong, and now you can turn and carry on the right direction. It is for your good that I go, because following me down to verse 12 and 13. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Again, I have to repeat that. I'm a huge movie fan. So if you are a movie fan like me, you'd have seen this film. Oops, sorry. The Matrix. So the main character in this film, Neo. Neo is a guy who just lives his life. But one day, Neo was offered a blue pill and a red pill. Choose the blue pill, and the story ends. He wakes up as if nothing had happened. Believe whatever he wants to believe. Life goes on, as it were. But taking the red pill, he sees reality and ventures on to discover and to see what's real, what's really out there. So if you haven't seen that film, it's worth watching it. It's pretty cool. Here from verse 12 onwards. Forgot to put that one in. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, telling his disciples that the Spirit would come and help them understand what Jesus had previously said about Jesus himself as the truth, about what Jesus is about to do, him going to the cross, his death and his resurrection, so that later on the disciples would understand what was happening. We too can see and understand all that Jesus had revealed about God and about himself, and also the things he later revealed to us through his disciples. When we think about those friends we want to see come into faith, we know that they don't just come to know Jesus by magic. They too need to hear and see. We read from the end of the previous chapter that as the Spirit testified about Jesus, so the disciples will also testify. And this is the same for us. We can also testify Christ by pointing people to the Word of God. So as we pray, we need to think, how do we get our friends on the receiving end of the gospel? How can we get them to read the word of Jesus and ask the Spirit to change them? And the good news is our God is not a God with a huge stick who reveals truth, convict us of our wrong, and then beat us with the stick to punish us. No, our God is not like that. The Spirit's work is to convince people of their guilt in order to lead them to Christ. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that gracious? It is for our good. Jesus actually did go away, but via the cross. so that the Holy Spirit can come. Jesus gave his life as the ransom. He's there, died under God's judgment for us. It is only by him going away there will be good news. But we wouldn't be able to see it without the Spirit's help. If Jesus doesn't go through what he came to do, the Spirit would not come. And we would still be living in peril, unaware of what would come. So what's the invitation Jesus has for us? If you are not a believer yet, but you are thinking, well, what Jesus said is making sense. It is growing on me. Then will you open the Bible, read about Jesus and what he had to say? And know this, that the Bible is the means the Spirit will use to convict you of your guilt and lead you into Christ. Maybe you are already following Christ and you are thinking, I really want to know Christ better. I really want to know him. You know what? You got all the help you need. You have the Holy Spirit to guide you to grow your understanding of who Jesus is, of who God is, and what he had promised, rather than living in doubts or fears. Let me tell you a story. When Ruth and I first got married, back in New Zealand, long time ago, we decided to move to Hamilton, and that's 2 hours south of Auckland, where we previously lived. Now, my driver's license allows me to drive lorries up to the size of 2 tonners, so 2-ton lorries. And as a poor newlywed couple, I decided that the best and the cheapest option is to hire out a lorry and do a DIY move down to Hamilton. But up to that point, I wasn't experienced in driving a manual car at all, let alone driving a manual lorry. By the way, lorries don't come in automatics. I had a few options. I can learn to drive a manual car from reading the books, reading the instruction manuals. Or I can do a search on Google, find the best manual car driving tips. Or maybe I can find a YouTube video. There's lots of teaching you how to do kind of videos on YouTube and learn to drive manual cars step by step. Or, hey, I could even video chat some professional, you know, lorry drivers to teach me how to drive a lorry live on TV, live on screen. But my friend actually offered to help, teaching me and guiding me to drive the manual car by sitting next to me in person. Of course, I said yes to his offer. Why wouldn't I? Now, God is like that. He doesn't just leave us with the best detailed instruction book, instruction manual, as if he is with us. But the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. He guides and empowers us. He is with us. How cool is that? Maybe we could encourage each other by asking one another if we are listening to the truth from the Bible. Maybe we could look out for anyone who are discouraged, who might have believed in any of the lies, that they are abandoned, left alone, or feeling impossible to move on, and come alongside them. Maybe there's a friend you've previously written off and thought there's no way they'd come to know Christ, and you want to start praying for them again. Please think with me over the next 30 seconds. In your own heart, ask, how has the Holy Spirit challenged you today? Is there anything He convicted you that you need to repent from? Or if there's anything you need to say yes to as He challenges you? 30 seconds. Just imagine that if we had all said yes to the Holy Spirit. What a privilege it is that we have the Holy Spirit with us. In verses 14 and 15, the Spirit glorifies Jesus by making Him known. Now, we are tasked to do the same. We must testify. But not without the help of the Holy Spirit. We can bring glory to God by pointing people to Christ. And it is so liberating to know that the Holy Spirit does not only instruct or direct, but He also empowers us to get His work done. And it is such a special privilege that we get to be part of God's work, God's amazing work. To see people convinced in their consciences of their wrongdoings before God and turn to God. To see the world experiencing the joy of repentance. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank You so much for Your gracious love for us. How You've wonderfully provided for us that You entered into our very lives by the person of the Holy Spirit to enable us so that we can live a life that brings glory to You. We pray particularly in a world that's increasingly hostile. We would, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, to have the courage we need to testify Your name and to remember and hold on to Your promises, which are made known clearly by Your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.